you know about the true crimes that inspired a Bruce Springsteen album? Or the murders AC/DC was blamed for? How about Taylor Swift's violent stalkers? Or the suspicious deaths of Brittany Murphy and River Phoenix? These stories and more are told in the Disgraceland podcast, hosted by me, Jake Brennan, every Tuesday, where I dive deep into subjects from the dark side of music history and entertainment. So follow and listen to Disgraceland on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
In this wide world of sports, some stories can slip through the cracks.
Now, before we do this, let's go over the ground rules.
Pelican Brewing presents the Daily Ticker, where Dirt and Sprague hit the big stories you've heard about, and some you haven't.
How'd you do that?
Actually, I'm not even mad. It's amazing.
The Daily Ticker with Dirt and Sprague is brought to you by Pelican Brewing, independently brewing on the Oregon coast since 1996. Discover even more flavors from your local coast with Pelican's new craft sodas. Pelican Brewing, born at the beach.
All right, Daily Ticker time here on a Tuesday, brought to you as always by our great friends at Pelican Brewing Company. With the return of warmer weather, Pelican brings back its summer seasonal beer, Pelicano, available in clear glass bottles. It's refreshment that you can see. Joining us now is our good buddy, friend of the program, Nick Kostos. You better, you bet, at the Kostos on Twitter. You can go give him a follow. Nick, good morning to you. We love chatting with you. We want to get to your Knicks and a couple of gambling angles in the conference finals. But first, you got to settle a debate for us. NFL playoff formatting. Should division winners get home field advantage, or are you in favor of this Lions change of base it on records and let's reseed?
Well, first off, great to be on with you guys. The traditionalist in me thinks that if you win your division, even if you win your division at 8-9 or 9-8 or back in the day 7-9, that you should be rewarded with the home playoff game because you won your division. But I do think the reason that why I get kind of excited about, and I do think this is going to pass, and I do think the tush push is going to get banned. I think both of those things are going to happen.
Yes.
Is that week 18 becomes way more interesting now, where week 18 has largely become, you know, it's fun for DFS and it's fun for bets and it's fun for fantasy football potentially. Like if you're a sicko that's playing in a league that extends to week 18. But I mean, there's usually what, like three or four games that actually matter, that actually really matter in week 18. But I think if you had it where the team with the best record could potentially host a playoff game as a wild card team, now I think it starts to matter a lot more. So I think in the interest of making week 18 feel bigger, I actually kind of like it. So I am in support of it, despite the traditionalist in me thinking that division winners should be able to host home playoff games.
Okay, hold on. Okay.
Our live studio audience wants to react to his take. Hold on, there we go.
Ladies go crazy for Kostos, man.
Look, he did end it with, I like it for this reason, and he's making a very good reason, because Week 18, I thought, sucked last
week
year.
Week 18 blows, yeah.
Right? He's right there.
But I don't know if it blows, but I do think that, like if you're watching just as a fan, I think week 18 can be pretty boring unless your team's in a big game. Now, I think it's a great betting week, but I mean, we want to juice this thing up, man. Week 18 becomes 50 times better if this is the way the playoff format is.
It's a great argument.
And then when they go to 20 games, we'll find a different way.
It'll be week 19 and week 20 that we need to juice up. Yeah.
But it kind of feels like he gave you the win, but also he's kind of playing both sides.
He's a great guest. You know, he made us both feel like winners in that first answer. We're off to a great start.
Where are you at right now? I know we're talking football with you, and you just gave a great answer, and you're talented, dude. You're not on TV and, you know, simulcast for no reason, but you've got to be like going through it right now. You're a diehard Knicks fan. You're Mr. New York. They haven't been here in a long time, and it's a hated rival that has been around your entire life. Where are you at right now, nerves-wise, with Knicks Pacers?
I hate the Pacers. I don't hate the Celtics, which may sound weird because I'm a New York sports fan. I think we're supposed to hate Boston teams, but I mean, the Celtics have never, like, historically in my lifetime at least, I've never been a big rival. The Knicks and Celtics have never been a huge rivalry. They played in the playoffs a handful of times. That's never kind of been the deal. So for me, I turned 42 next month, like watching all the series in the 90s, the teams I hate in order are the Bulls first, always, the Pacers, and the Miami Heat.
Yeah.
We got Indiana a couple of times, but they got us a couple of times also in the 90s. I was at the Reggie Miller game in 1995, game one, Eastern Conference Semis in 1995. Me and my mom were at the game. we left with like 30 seconds left to make the Long Island Railroad. We're walking through the concourse, true story, at Madison Square Garden. I hear the crowd booing. I'm like, we have to go and see what's happening. We walk through one of the tunnels, and Reggie Miller's at the line shooting free throws to put the Pacers up. What the hell just happened here? And I cried the entire way home on the long, I was 12 years old. True story. I also cried in game 7 when Ewing missed the finger roll. So I hate this team. I hate the Pacers. I respect them. Great fan base. Like, great team building. Halliburton's great. But I despise the Pacers. And the thought of losing to the Pacers, I would rather lose to the Celtics than the Pacers. Yeah. And I'm supposed to hate Boston. So nerves, I would say 10 out of 10 ahead of tomorrow night's game 1.
So you're at one of the more legendary NBA moments in games of all time. And you missed it to leave for an earlier train to get home.
Well, I mean, I'm 12.
Yeah, you got to get to bed. School night, probably.
Like, my mom wants to go home. I don't really have much saying now. If my dad had been there, we're probably saying, look, it probably, honestly, I think the story's better this way.
Yeah.
Because I actually remember, like, walking into the tunnel and looking and seeing Reggie to my right shooting free throws. Like what just happened here? Yeah, pretty devastating, man. Pretty crushing.
Do you know about the true crimes that inspired a Bruce Springsteen album? Or the murders AC/DC was blamed for? How about Taylor Swift's violent stalkers? Or the suspicious deaths of Brittany Murphy and River Phoenix? These stories and more are told in the Disgraceland podcast, hosted by me, Jake Brennan, every Tuesday, where I dive deep into subjects from the dark side of music history and entertainment. So follow and listen to Disgraceland on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
That is, well, we've all had losses like that with our teams over the years. Maybe you leave early or you don't see the ending. That's it. That's one of the most famous games in NBA history. Yeah. Wild to be there and to hear the crowd reaction. At least you're still in the building to see the outcome of it, as painful as it was. Nick Costos is our guest. You better you bet at the Costos on Twitter. Go give him a follow. OKC, we all know from the metrics, the numbers, back it up. SGA is going to win MVP, like best team in the NBA in the regular season. And not even close. One of the best regular seasons we've ever seen. And then I see him going against like the Mad TV kid coaching the other team in Denver in the second round, and the Nuggets are pushing him to a game 7.
Shave his head, right?
Dude, like, what are we doing? No hair, now we got hair. Came out of nowhere. Denver's got no coach and no GM, yet they're pushing him to 7, and OKC's younger players, their role guys looking a little pucker factor out there. What do you make of the Thunder and the gambling angle on this series? I just think based on value, there's a little bit, you know, there's good value on Minnesota because of the odds there. How do you feel about the conference finals?
So it's, I'm a little biased, because I come from the perspective of, I've been betting Minnesota, and we've talked about this on You Better You Bet. I've been betting the Wolves for months.
Yeah.
I felt like Minnesota was like the big value team in the West. It took them a while to kind of coalesce and come together after the big trade. You know, Towns comes to the Knicks, Randle and DiVincenzo to Minnesota. And once they started to get rolling, I mean, you could see the upside of this team. So I'm sitting on a bunch of Minnesota to win the West, exact finals matchups against the Knicks. Like, that would be that's my ideal scenario. Wolves Knicks from a money perspective in the finals. So I'm not going to hedge off of it, but I mean, I said this on the show yesterday. It's like, what, water gun to my head, like, pick the winner of the series. I don't know how you go against Oklahoma City. Now, I will be betting Minnesota tonight plus the points, where I think the Wolves can absolutely keep this game close. I think the point spread's way too big in tonight's game, given Minnesota has a huge rest advantage. OKC played two days ago, and I know they won in blowout fashion, but I do like Minnesota to cover the spread tonight. I just think betting independent, right? No spreads, no markets. Who's going to win? Tough to go against Oklahoma City at this point. I do think if Minnesota is going to win the series, it stands to reason that Julius Randle needs to have a huge offensive series like he did against Golden State. Oklahoma City is going to make it pretty difficult, I think, for Anthony Edwards. It doesn't mean Edwards can't or won't be the best player on the court, but I think Randle needs to have a huge series. And I actually think that correlates where if you like Minnesota to win the series, I think you should probably bet some Julius Randle to be Western Conference MVP, Western Conference Finals MVP instead of Anthony Edwards.
If the Knicks do indeed beat the Hicks and they get to the finals, is Nick Costos going to have to get himself to a finals home game?
Yeah, I mean, well, I have a young child, so it's like this stuff becomes exponentially difficult than it was. Do I have to go to a game? I mean, like, yes. I don't want to spend like $3,000 to go to a game. And I tried with Odyssey. Hey, get me tickets. And they failed spectacularly. A bunch of idiots. Like, thanks, guys. I mean, like, I worked my ass off for you. I asked for one thing in 6 years. You can't get me Knicks tickets. And that was against Boston. That wasn't even against Indiana in the final or the NBA finals. So I doubt I'll be able to make a game. I will use my one-year-old daughter as an excuse, but it would be great to go.
Okay, I got to ask you something before we let you go, because that was fantastic. We love railing against the big wigs on the air. Now, let me ask you this. So we used to have Ken on all the time before he departed from your program, and he's now a professional gambler. I lost a bet to Ken in college football, and the payoff was I had to ship Ken something Oregon related, right? Like, if he would have won.
Oh, I remember this. Okay. Yeah, we talked about this on the show. Yeah.
Okay. I don't know what part of it you talked about and didn't talk about. So I ship him. I get his address. I ship off this huge, nice, you know, basket of stuff Oregon related. I just think if we're being honest here, we need to be honest about this. When you get somebody's address, do you not plug it in and see where they live and what their house looks like?
No.
Only weirdos do that, man. I don't know who would do that.
Well, let me ask. Like, what's the thought process behind that?
Just curious.
Just want to see what you got going on.
Where are you living? Know? What's it look like?
So basically, like, okay. Like, let's just call a spade a spade. You want to see, like, how expensive his house is. Like, that's what you want.
That's part of the equation.
I was more just curious the name.
You know, like, just kind of, you guys, good schools there? How's the front yard look? Is he upkeep it?
Well,
how's it looking?
Hold on a second. Because if we're going to do, like, the let's call a spade and let's be honest thing, like you want to see how expensive his house is. That's what you, that, yeah. There's no, like, that's part of it. That is it, right? You can say that. It's okay.
Well, it's a little bit part of it. I wasn't so much like, oh, I want to see what it's valued.
What are the other parts?
Just what it looks like. What's the domain? What's Connecticut like? I didn't know. I had no idea.
Do you subscribe to, like, Better Home and Garden magazine? Like, I don't what it looks like.
You're damn right, dude. I'm on Zillow and Redfin every day.
Is it a white picket fence? You know, has he got solar panels on the roof?
Nick, if I gave you my address,
no way you care about any of these. You're hosting a sports show. You care if Ken Barkley has. You want to know how much money he makes?
Yeah, I want to know. You better you bet, fam, man. He's doing good things.
He's bragging about how much he was making off the ice.
It's okay.
If I gave you my address, I'm not saying you look it up. You clearly say you don't. But, like, you might in your head be like, do they live in trees out there? I've never been. I'm kind of curious.
I have to be honest. And it's not that this isn't to say, like, I don't care about, like it's not personal. Like, I just don't care. And, like, and it's fine. Like, just because I don't care doesn't mean that other people can't care. I'm not even criticizing it, but I don't care at all.
Well, Dirt, I don't know why you would look up his address like that. That was
yeah,
really
why would
weird
I do
you.
A thing like that? Why would I even ask that
You're
question?
You're making Nick feel uncomfortable right now.
It's a horrible question
well,
to
not,
even
not
ask.
I feel uncomfortable. I would feel, listen, a lot of people, look, there's nothing wrong with it. People like to know how much money other people make. But I think if you were just honest about it and said that, like, I want to see how expensive his house looks. Like, that's what it is, right?
Yeah, well, New Yorkers are interesting, too, because I have media books. So, like, I'll look
He's
up.
He's going to keep dodging the question.
No, I'm answering. I look up, like, a New York-based NBA writer, and I'll just plug in what the address is. And it's just like, it's a building. And I'm like, eh. You know, it's a building. It's New York. It's about what I expected.
That's kind of what's going on.
Ken's
there.
Was.
You, man, you got, there's some, like, I don't know, man. I feel like this is a great, like, therapist topic, man. I think you should, like, talk to a shrink or something, man. There's something here. Something really good here.
There's a nugget in there. We got
to
find. We
got to
dig deep enough.
Therapy Tuesdays.
We got therapy Tuesdays. I think this is a Therapy Tuesday topic. Nick Costos.
This is a great therapy. I mean, you say that to a therapist, that's 55 minutes of gold for that therapist right there.
He's the host of You Better You Bet. We love talking to him at The Costos on Twitter. Go give him a follow. Thanks, buddy. Good luck to your Knicks, and hopefully we can do it again soon.
Yeah, and I live in a really nice community with lots of trees and foliage, and it's beautiful. Wishing everyone minimal sweats when he bets the absolute very best of luck.
Podcasting isn't just evolving. It's having a full-blown identity crisis. I'm Allison Marino, host of What's a Podcast? The Revolution Redefined, a new series that pulls back the curtain on the forces shaping the medium now and what that means for all of us who love podcasts. I'm really excited to share the official trailer where you'll hear from some of the biggest names in the space. Ira Glass, Leo Laporte, Guy Raz, Hernan Lopez, Lex Fridman, AJ Feliciano, Dan Granger, and yeah, me too. Here it is now.
I still want to kill the word podcast.
That's not just a hot take. It's a symptom of an identity crisis.
Big company run media, and people are trusting it less and less. It's really important that we're independent.
There's a handful of companies that control the vast majority of podcast inventory that have the vast majority of the gigantic shows.
We left radio behind for a reason. We wanted to get away from all the gatekeepers.
I don't know that you could do this as effectively in video.
Podcasting is at a crossroads. I've watched the industry swing from hype to consolidation to reinvention. But this time it's different. From the producers of the documentary Age of Audio, Oxford Road presents the Media Roundtable special series. What's a podcast? The revolution redefined.
All of us who work in the media, like, yeah, we got to run a business and like, we got to make a living and we got to sell our ads and we got to do all that. But we all got into it because like, I think most of us, like, it just gave us a feeling.
A three-part series where you'll hear the leading industry voices give their takes on what podcasting has become and where it's headed next. Teaming up with Oxford Road and Age of Audio director Sean Colon for this series was fun, but also kind of a wake-up call. If you love this medium as much as I do, you've got to listen to What's a Podcast? The Revolution Redefined. It's out now, wherever you get your podcasts.